thoughts this morning. I believe the Lord gave us. And I'd like to start in the book of Hebrews, second chapter, and the 10th verse. Actually, I'd like to start at verse 9. Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. I was thinking about Jesus, how he suffered. This scripture here, the thought that I want to get out of it is verse 10. It says, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. That's speaking of Jesus. Jesus, this perfection is, it has to do with the character, inner qualities of character of a person. It means to mature, to complete, to fulfill. And it said that Jesus, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And we know Jesus' life wasn't easy for him just because he was a son of God. He had much difficulty. I want to turn to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, and the 6th verse. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Here we learn that Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And it also mentions that being made perfect. So his sufferings, God used them to perfect him. There's another scripture there in Isaiah 53rd. It said that Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He experienced those things even though he had the power of God working in his life. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He experienced a lot of difficulties and hardships in his life, but God the Father used them. There was another verse that mentions that he went to the lowest parts of the earth. And to me, that represents humiliation, hardship, and difficulty. You know, at first it mentions he ascended, but it said he that ascended is him also that descended. He descended to the lowest parts of the earth, of humanity. We know that he was born in poverty. He experienced a lot of trouble, a lot of difficulties. I want to get another verse now in Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8, and I'll start at verse 26. It says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." I was thinking about how the Lord, he wants us to conform to the image of his Son. He wants us to be perfected also in our lives and to have the image of Christ born in our life, born in our heart, in our life. He wants his image. And he wants to mold, I believe the Lord wants to mold us in to the image of his Son. Ephesians kind of bears this also out. The book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Ephesians 4 and 7, it says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but also that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive us, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ." So these scriptures also bear out that the Lord wants the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father wants us to conform to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, we may not have all the gifts that Christ had, and we won't, and one single person, I don't believe, will have all the gifts that Christ had. But I believe it's talking about in our character, our moral fiber of our being. And God wants us to have the image of his Son. He wants us to be conformed to that image. And I believe he helps us to be able to get there. He allows and he permits things to touch our life. In Colossians, also, Colossians 1:28, it says, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So he wants to perfect our lives. And I believe he does that through the things that touch us in life. You know, Jeremiah gives us the picture of the potter and the clay. And he mentions that. He says that the clay, the lump of clay, was the house of Israel. It was the people of God. And he said, can I do with this, with the clay, I can do with you that the potter does with the clay. And I believe the things, if we have the right attitude and the right spirit, and we allow the things that God permits us to touch us in our lives, it will mold. He is wanting to mold his image and his likeness into us. And we see that happening with Christ, and I believe it also happens in our lives too. He wants to perfect us. He wants to fulfill us and complete us, mature us. And many times it will come through difficulty. It comes through sorrow. It comes through suffering at times. All these things God uses, but they can work for our good. All things work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to His purpose. I remember Jesus asking His disciples, He said, are you able to drink of the cup that I drink from? And they said, we are able. I don't believe they understood what they were saying at that point. But Jesus said, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink from. Our ordinance service, when we pass around the Jews, the fruit of the vine, and we take it up to our lips, and we sip that cup, what are we saying? Each time we do that, we're committing our life to God. We're saying we will follow the Lord. We're saying we give ourselves to you. Our life belongs to you when we partake of that cup. Jesus partook of the cup. It was a cup of difficulty, a cup of rejection, a cup of sorrow. It was a difficult cup to drink. It doesn't taste very good to our flesh. And Jesus prayed, Lord, if it be possible for this cup to pass, let it pass from me. But he always ended, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I think about the cup. I feel like sometimes we're going to have to drink of the cup that comes our way. And I want to note just a few things that Jesus felt in drinking his cup. He felt powerless. Sometimes we would like to change circumstances and situations. But if it's a cup that's been appointed to us by God, He'll help us drink it. He'll help us to partake of it. Jesus also, when He drank His cup, He felt alone and He felt forsaken. He felt vulnerable. He felt weak. He felt all those things in drinking his cup. And I believe we'll feel those things too. I believe that's part of the cup. But I believe the Lord can help us in those times when we're called on to drink from that bitter cup. I think about the song. There's a song that we sing. If I can get the words, it mentions, it says, "Father, in the heated furnace, let me stay. Precious gold refining, purge the dross away. Till thy glorious image is reflected, and the costly jewels of thy grace I wear." I don't think any of us as human like suffering. We don't like to suffer. We don't choose suffer. It hurts us to see others suffer. But sometimes it's part of the cup that we must drink. But the Lord is still working through all of it. And I believe Jesus ended up, He ascended. Praise the Lord, I believe we can ascend too. James in 1 and 8, I'll share this scripture in closing. James 1 and 8. I'm sorry, that's not the 1 and 4. I'll start at verse 1. "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Here in these verses, we see that divers, various temptations, various difficulties work is the trying of our faith. It works patience. I noticed, I can't remember which song we sang, but there was one that Fanny Crosby, she mentioned patience. It was like, let me be patient. "But let patience have her perfect work." The Lord is working. The Lord is there. Sometimes when we feel Him the least, He's there working something deeper. You know, we're so human, and we're subject to human thoughts. We're subject to one verse I came across. It said the carnal mind there in Romans is not subject to the law of God. Carnal is earthly. Earthly mind is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. It doesn't see anything deeper than just what's out in front. But the spiritual mind, I believe, is able to perceive that God is working something deeper in us, in others. But it's for our good, it's for our benefit if we have the right heart. And I feel like that's what patience, let patience have her perfect work, is having the right spirit and attitude of willingness to drink of that cup. It produces something in us that nothing else can do. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, that you can grow spiritually, that we can mature and become more and more what God is calling us to be. I thank the Lord for these verses. We don't like sorrow. We'd never choose it within ourselves. We don't like adversity. We don't like trouble. I don't. I like things to be smooth. But the Lord works through these things to help us. And I'm thankful there is an ascension. I appreciate the power of God that works through these things. We love you. We appreciate you. We want you to be encouraged that the Lord is still there. He's still a helper. When it looks like you can't take another step, He'll be there to help. Thank you.